ever so grateful to be able to read the King James version here. And we just hit the go live button, and I missed that before, but we're all set. We're in Ecclesiastes, page 731. And do keep in mind, I'm going to hit this for the go live people that are on the stream. I am not a rabbi, priest, minister, clergy, anything else, bishop, or anything else. I just enjoy reading the Bible. So I'm going to say that once again. Your interpretation is your interpretation. My interpretation is, what mine is. And I always believe that you should always go through your church and ask for help for things that we don't understand. So, but let's get to it. We're at page 731, chapter 1, Introduction of Vanity. And I just absolutely love it. So let's get to it. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? And here's the illustrations of that. You know, what are we? To me, it speaks out the things that we do, we perform, and moral character and everything else. And we do all this stuff in this world. And not one of us are sinless. So I think it's performance and everything else. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Let me go back into Psalms, and you can see that 104, verse 5, 119, verse 90. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to the place where he arose. If you go to John and you look at that, you can see where we're talking now. All these different prophets that are going to start coming to true, talking about God. All the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And if you remember in John, going to John, he's telling them in John, hey, listen, here I am right in front of you. Yes, you say you know Abraham, you say you know Moses, you know the scriptures and everything else, but here I am right in front of you. And they're like, who is this God? Show us to him. And he says, hey, wait a minute, that is me, surely, the one who's talking to you, because he is in me and I am in him. And they still couldn't figure it out. It is unbelievable. All the thing that hath been, it is, that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already been of old time, which is before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Now we're gonna go into right here, and we're at verse 12, and we're still in chapter 1. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised wherewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of the spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And it's true. The more that we gain knowledge, the more that we are saddened as we get older, especially seeing the things going on in the world today. And it does create a lot of sorrow. Chapter 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, the particular treasure of kings and of provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of sons of men as musical instruments and all, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, it was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself before to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are on his head, are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then I said in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which is now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as a fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, and all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. It's hard to imagine that all the things that we do in this world, and no matter what we do, and we could try to do the best things, but you know what? We're sinners, and we're going to make mistakes. And no matter how hard we try to search for wisdom, no matter how hard we do that, it's vanity. because man, it's vanity. Boy, I'll tell you, just full of it. And the fool and the wise man are really no different because they're going to die and be forgotten. But some men are able to see way better than others. And I guess this is hard. The vanity of hard labor. It doesn't matter what you have here. When you die, it doesn't matter how wise you are. Doesn't matter how poor you are. Doesn't matter anything. Either way, you know, you're going to go. And we could go crazy here. We can go mad here. So let's get on to it. And here we go. Now we're on verse 18. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I have taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun? This is also vanity. That's true. Everything that we do, you can have everything that you want, but it's really not yours. It's temporary. For the fleeting moment that we're here on earth, you can have all the riches you want, build up everything and be wise and kind and loving and everyone else, but you don't know what whoever it's left to or whoever gets it next is going to do the right thing. That's why it's in vain. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all this, his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Conclusion: there is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and for that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. To me, it's, when are we content? Or are we all going mad to try to get more and more and more and more? How much is enough? God is good to us. God, he gives us everything. He knows what our needs are. He knows everything that we need. We need clothes to wear and everything else. And now we're getting into chapter 3. And I've always believed this, that everything predetermines the events of life. That's God. God predetermines that. To everything there is a season, a time, every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? God decides these things. He decides what time is. God knows every single step. He knows every single way. How many hairs are on our head? How many insects, creep crawler things, fish in the sea, whales? He knows which way the wind is going to blow. He knows which way it's going to go. How many leaves are on the trees? Which ones fall where? How many bees there are? How many plants that they'll pollinate? How many animals? How many people? He knows everyone's heartbeat. He knows everyone's steps. How many times they'll blink? How many times they'll swallow? How many times they'll breathe? How many times they'll cough? But he doesn't just know this on earth. He knows this about everything. How many waves there are. For God predetermines the conditions of life. He decides. It's not us. We are no more than a speck of dust, a grain of sand. And understand, he doesn't need us. We need him. He chooses to love us. And we need to choose to love him. I have seen the travail which God hath given unto the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. All the things that we just mentioned would boggle our minds. How many times the birds flap their wings? The bees buzz? Yeah. When you really sit down and you look at it and you hear people say, there is no God. And this kind of goes on our path of God on trial. What do we see? The eyes are the soul, you know, are the entrance to the soul. And if you can see light, and you can see truth, and you can hear truth, and you can know God, and you can love God. If you see darkness, guess what? That's just going to be darkness. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatever so God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. And as we go and we see how powerful knowing the things and talking about these things, how powerful God is. I mean, Ecclesiastes 4, page 734, verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. God judges all. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and that place of righteousness and iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time. Therefore, every purpose and for every work, I said in my heart, concerning the estate of the sons of man, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Every one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of dust, and shall turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that go upward, and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice of his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? We don't know what we're going to share. We don't know what we're going to leave and how good somebody's going to be or how they're not. But we're supposed to enjoy everything here, not worry, not sin, do what's right, have a moral responsibility. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. And make sure that, you know, as you love yourself, love your neighbor. It's important. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of the oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead, which were already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they, which have not yet been, who have not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again I considered all travail and every right work. For this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of the spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of the spirit. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. I considered all the living which walk under the sun, with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people. even of all that have been before him. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this is also vanity and vexation of the spirit. And you can see, you know, we're not paying attention. And he's telling us, you know, in a lot of ways right here, you know, about Christ coming. And and talking about his own kids is really what it is. But it also has that alluding, and we just, we're not paying attention. The inefficiencies of human religion, chapter 5. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy own heart be haste to anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of businesses, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is most higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor that he loveth the abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increased, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saying, the beholding of them with their eyes? The sheep, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. And it's very interesting that we forget these things. And the truth of the matter is that wealth brings difficulties. And it does. There's a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. This is also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, he shall go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Wealth ultimately comes from God. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the food of all his labor that is taken under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in a joy of his heart. And everything that we have, we are to thank God for all comes from him. And if we can do that, we can rejoice a lot more. And even with all the problems and sickness and all the things, it's the fact that God loves us. God gives us exactly what we need. And what we need is him. And if that doesn't bring you joy, I don't know what does. No matter how bad things get, no matter how good things get, God loves us. And just like you shake a hand, you reach out your hand and you go to shake. When we sin, you know, God has reached his hand out to us. When we sin, he's not pulling away. We are. It's our hand that withdraws because we know what we've done. He's right there. He hasn't moved. And he wants us to reach our hand out and still shake his hand, still come back to him, no matter what we have done. Chapter 6, No Satisfaction in Wealth, page 735. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it cometh among men, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man begat 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul not be filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth with darkness, and his name shall be covered with the darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he lived 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise man more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of eyes than the wandering of the desire. This also, vanity and vexation of the spirit. That which has been named already, it is known that it is man, neither many he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in his life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? No satisfaction in the future. No satisfaction in labor, no satisfaction in children, no satisfaction in wealth. Wealth brings difficulty. Wealth does not satisfy. The insufficiencies of human religion, evil oppression, folly of hard work. Wisdom and Folly Contrasted, chapter 7, page 735. A good name is better than a precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance of his heart is made better. The heart of the wise in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear and rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of the thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the food. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh not a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for the anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider God also hath set one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things I have seen in the days of my vanity. There is just a man that perish in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou should take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. The strength of wisdom. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Though there is not just a man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thy hand knoweth that thou likewise hath cursed others. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness and folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whereso pleadeth, God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those I have not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And we're going to stop right there. And on page 737, chapter 8, we're going to log this down. You know, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to try to understand. And it's very hard to do. It's very hard for me to do. And this is my fourth time reading the Bible. And, you know, in the Bible, it says, don't try to go from thy own understanding. It's always good to talk to your pastor, your preacher, your rabbi, your, you know, clergy. Help them help you explain it to you. That's the best way to go. But it is fun to read. And I try to delve into it. And in a lot of ways, it's like this great drama that's going on, this great story. And as we hear it and we go through it, the more that we'll start to be able to see it even more. That's one of the things that I love about the Bible. And some of it's hard. It's hard to understand. It's hard to read, but you can't quit. See, you know, you have to exercise your mind. You have to teach yourself. You have to be prepared. The only way to do that is you work out. And that's how you win races. That's how you win games. That's how you do that. But it takes diligence. It takes wanting to learn, to understand, wanting to get closer to God. You have to just keep applying yourself to do the best that you can and make sure that you go to church and make sure that you, you know, learn these things and have it explained. You know, if you start to go off your own understanding, I would say that that's vanity. We all have to learn. The day that we quit learning, that's the day of our doom. You know, if you look at it as your soulmate, your love, when you're learning, you first go through it, you're going through kindergarten, and then, you know, first through 12th grade, high school, you get your diploma and loving them. And then you go and you get your technical school, your associates then. And then you go for your bachelor's, bachelor's of arts or whatever else. And then all of a sudden you're going into the specialty part of your bachelor's. And then all of a sudden you're into the master's degree. But all through your life, you're learning all the way down the line. You're constantly learning. It never stops. And that's how we're supposed to love one another. Constantly learning, never stopping. It's endless until the time that we leave here. And doing it with a good works, a good heart, a good soul, we do the best that we can do. And with that, guys, we're done this week, and I thank you for tuning into Life Walk and Ecclesiastes. You know, we're going to be on chapter 8, page 735, King James Version. And some of the words are still hard for me to read, so bear with me. I apologize. It's something I haven't been able to do too much, and I'm partial dyslexic, so just bear with me a little bit. But it's fun to go through it. It's fun to go and look at it, and the more you start to see it and want to learn it, then you want to go back and, okay, what did I miss, you know? And you go back again and go back again, and that's the fun of it all. So with that, I wish you all good health, much love. Be good to one another, especially in today's world. You know, this is not our home. We're just visitors, pilgrims. There's a better place, but we have to choose it. So be good to one another. Have a fantastic week. And thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network. And, you know, I hope that this reached at least one person. That's the most important thing, and I hope so. If we did that, just reading it. And like I said, I'm no anything. I'm just like you, just sharing. That's all. But thank you for the company. God bless. Take care, folks.
Once upon a time, you were 25, woken up the aisle. You made the promise of your life. Blink twice and you were 29, singing lullabies. And I looked up at you for the first time. Words fall short, I am sure. There'll never be anyone like you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. When I was in trouble, you never left me there. And you love like your mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're an unsung hero. So I sing this song for you. Woke up, I was 21, and I fell in love. Remember how I told you that I'd say